Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Patently false, completely inaccurate. Maybe that's not a fair way to say it. It is one-sided.
Aditi Kinkabwala. Aditi Kinkabwala. Aditi Kinkabwala.
Why did I say her name like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
She absolutely crushed Dulac's reporting. That's what that was in reference to. Russell Wilson, Arthur Smith, not seeing eye to eye. That whole story put it on Arthur. Like Russell Wilson wanted to call audibles. Arthur Smith said, no, I'll put the kibosh on it. And Aditi says,
it is patently false. Completely inaccurate. Maybe that's not a fair way to say it. It is one-sided.
Favorite part there is Pony's laugh.
Yeah, Pony's laugh. He's like, not a fair way to say it. Like, just...
You just destroyed that man's reporting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's not a fair way of putting it. Well, it's out there now, Aditi.
Right? Yeah.
It's there now. I don't know what to believe. I don't. I know what my eyes told me, Doran. And what my eyes told me was Russell Wilson's up at the line of scrimmage against Cincinnati going like this. Wow! Like swinging his arms around like a wacky inflatable tube man. And then in the subsequent games, he's up there getting out of the huddle, clapping, going to the line of scrimmage and running a play. Like, that's what my eyes told me, my untrained eyes told me. But I heard Starkey say, he made a good point. Like, the two games prior to that Cincinnati game, the offense sucked, including in the snow in Cleveland.
Yes.
So I think the truth lies somewhere in between here. Like, I'm not going to read that story and say that the offense was good when Russ could audible and the offense was bad when Russ couldn't. I'm sure there were plays he got them into that he didn't do a good job with. I'm sure there are times then, too, where they said don't be doing stuff at the line of scrimmage and you run a play, or you hand the ball off in a stacked box and it goes for nothing. And that's a reason why the offense stunk. But what I will agree with Aditi on is That absolutely was a one-sided report.
Yeah.
I mean, we did not get the Arthur Smith side of that story. We got the, my opinion, probably the Russell Wilson camp side of that story.
Mm-hmm.
This coordinator really held me back. It's why we went 0-5. Hey, if I'm a free agent, don't look at that, because that wasn't my fault. We have not yet gotten the response piece from the Steelers' perspective on any of this.
I just, I you know, see the situation and I read the quotes and, you know, I knowing and having a personal relationship with Arthur Smith, knowing that he was an offensive coordinator in Tennessee, knowing he was a head coach, knowing he's the offense, I just can't see him doing that. You know, the guy's all about winning. And if you have a veteran quarterback that has done it for so many years, that still clearly has it in the tank, because you wouldn't have signed him if he didn't. I just can't see him restricting that and going forward with the philosophy that he thinks is a better brand of football.
Yeah.
I just can't see that. I'm sorry.
You know the guy, and this is my impression of him. And even whenever he does his media availabilities, that's all I know of him. I don't know the guy from Adam. He does not strike me as he needs to be the smartest guy in the room.
No.
He does not seem to me, and everyone's got an ego.
I have an ego.
He doesn't strike me as a guy who's got like an abnormally large ego. And so I'm confused on all of this. I really am.
If something worked, like, I mean, Arthur Smith, I know that he is, I guess, happy here. This is kind of a rehabilitation journey for him. He wants to be a head coach again. That's his goal. Like, it is what it is. That's his goal. So if you want to get to be a head coach again, and he had some interviews, he had two interviews this year.
Damn.
Why would you ever hold back something that was working?
Right.
It doesn't just nothing. It's not jiving. It's
right.
Just not making sense.
Right.
So it's either one side or it's coming from the top.
That's what I think it is. I don't think that if this is true, I don't think it's Arthur Smith.
No.
Almost 0% chance that it's Arthur Smith. Now, Aditi Kinkabwala, also in the interview with Pony and Muller yesterday, said that because she lives in Pittsburgh, when she goes to different facilities, talks to front office executives, talks to coaches, they all want to talk to her about the Steelers. And she says almost universally, Arthur Smith was getting praised for the job he did. I mean, shoot, man, when they were 10-3, we were praising him.
Yeah.
They had taken a significant step. They were better with Justin Fields than they had been the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first, even more than a handful of games with Russell Wilson, they were significantly better than they were year over year. And they were better than they had been with Justin Fields in terms of points per game, yards per game, all those fun statistics. Are we, and I'm just asking here, and I'm saying the general we, are we overreacting to this story when the explanation could be they played a bunch of really good teams down the stretch, and while they're a playoff team, they're not in the upper crust? Like, it could be that too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Baltimore, they finally showed, they finally figured out their Steelers problem. They're clearly better. Oh, Philadelphia, come on now, clearly better. Kansas City, hey, look, clearly better. It could be that.
Yes.
And those all are great defenses. Baltimore, statistically, not going to look like it, but from the time they played the Steelers the first time until they lost in the divisional round of the playoffs, they were one of the best defenses, if not the best, in the NFL. Cincinnati's defense wound up giving up, I think, 18 points per game their last seven games, something like that. It might have just been a murderer's row of good defense. And I'm not giving them excuses, because me saying they're not as good as those teams ain't me being okay with it. But that might just be the reality. There could be a lot at play here. And also, one more thing. I'm throwing theories out left and right, Doran. Could it also be, if this was true, oh, our right guard just got hurt. Ooh, our number one wide receiver just got
hurt. That's where I'm at right now. I'm glad you brought that up.
As we're sussing all this out.
I mean, if you think about, okay, I can't audible at the line of scrimmage, okay, who are you audibling to if George Pickens is out, if you want to audible to a pass? Like, if you're checking, and like, okay, you're going to check into a pass to Van Jefferson?
Right. Who ain't going to get open anyway?
If I'm offensive coordinator, like, yeah, we're going to scrap that, and we're just going to run our conservative football plays and see if we can go mano a mano and out physical a team. And if we can't, okay, then we'll live with it, because these are the best teams in the NFL, clearly. I mean, three of the four, basically four, were in the AFC-NFC championship game. You can give Baltimore, I mean, you could see them at the end of the game beating Buffalo. So
if they would have won the Super Bowl, I don't know that anybody would have really been surprised.
Right.
The Ravens. Yeah.
I mean, it's starting to make sense a little bit now. Like, if Arthur Smith did say, like, okay, yeah, we're going to cut back on the audibling. Yeah, that would make sense, because what are you audibling into?
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to make that play for you? Like, if you have George out there, yeah, it's like, okay, I got one-on-one with George. I'm going to, hey, check. I'm going to go to George because you're one-on-one. If I got Calvin Austin, like, okay,
I ain't doing back shoulder throw.
I'd rather give the ball to Najee and Jaylen Warren.
Yeah. I like that we're talking this out and trying to figure out where this all originated from, what's real, what's not. Because the reporting makes it seem, too, like it was Cincinnati game happens, they score so many points, and immediately, whoa, we can't be doing that. We can't be scoring that much. We can't be throwing it that much. But what I've said the whole time is, I think the line was that Baltimore game where Russ, he runs, fumbles at, what, the 3 or 4 yard line. They could have taken the lead in that game. Whoa, that was risky, man. You could have just gotten down. Maybe you lose a little trust in Russ at that point.
But that was just like a running. It wasn't like he checked in something, but the pick.
But then the pick at the end. Right. And I'm wondering, like, you're the veteran. Russ, just get down. Boy, I thought you'd be a better decision maker in that moment. And then at the end, maybe he checks into that pass play where he throws an interception that gets returned for a touchdown, and then you lose the football game. He also stayed in bounds at the end of a game where, you know, he should have gotten out of bounds and didn't, which you would expect more from a 10-time Pro Bowler veteran quarterback. And I'm wondering if the line wasn't, if this is true, the Bengals game, but they started incrementally losing more and more confidence in Russell Wilson because of those three things and maybe a few others.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know about the little, like, the out of bounds play and the running play, but, you know, who's to say that, and this kind of goes with the theory, that the receiver wasn't on the same page that Russ was on the same page whenever he threw the pick six, and that was an audible, and they're like, hey, like, we can't be audibling to, I don't even know who he was throwing to at the time.
Or you know what, even the Chiefs game where you George Pickens, you know, doesn't do what he's supposed to do,
right,
and Russ still shouldn't have thrown that football, but they weren't on the same page. And then defensively down the stretch, they weren't on the same page, and maybe they're just thinking, whoa, like,
I mean, it happened in the Bengals game, too. First play, right? Pick six.
Yeah. The first Bengals game.
So
yeah.
you get out of that game with a regime like, okay, you're going to check and we're going to continue because it's the game play. We're not going to change it mid-game. But you did that once. Then you go to Baltimore. Then you go to Kansas City. It's like, okay, we're cutting back. Okay, we got to scrap this.
And that's what you would like to see. And I'm not a journalist. I'm not critiquing Jerry. But to Aditi's point, if Russ's camp, and that's where I assume it came from, is saying, no audibles, they put the kibosh on me, I would like to hear, if that's true, the why. And if in the body of the story there, it's, well, they were banged up and they're playing a bunch of good teams and they started to lose trust in Russ because he started to put the ball more in harm's way. That, to me, is more of a story in what I would have learned in journalism school. Like, people say there's two sides to every story. I don't agree with that. There's a lot of times just a right and a wrong. Right? That doesn't make two sides of a story. Sometimes there's 8 sides of a story. Sometimes there's 12 sides of a story. We all have eyes. We all see things. We all perceive the world in different ways. But maybe dig a little bit and see what the offensive coordinator and the rest of the front office might think about this story and whether or not it's BS or not. 412-928-9370. Pat Bostic going to be joining us next. He'll weigh in on this. And then we got to get in the Super Bowl. We got to blow it out with the Super Bowl. We have talked very little Super Bowl this week. We have another wonderful edition of Quiz Callis coming up around 8:45 today. Callis didn't even know about that.
Not a clue.
Which is outstanding. What are we doing? I don't want to tell him yet. I almost blew the whole thing just there.
Yeah, let's wait.
I almost blew it. He could have looked things up. So Quiz Callis coming up in the next hour. Bostic with us coming up next. You can chime in on the conversation, 412-928-9370. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We are joined now by our good friend Pat Bostick. Pat joins us every single Thursday until 10 o'clock. Patty, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. It's my youngest 5th birthday today.
Happy birthday.
So I hung out a little bit longer this morning to make sure I saw him.
Put a little candles in his omelet or a croissant.
No, he's probably having like a chocolate chip cookie for breakfast, to be honest.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, man, 5. Dude's crazy.
Big birthday. 5's huge. Five, they're adults.
Yeah, he slept until like 9:15 on Sunday, and he woke up. You ever had one of those moments with your kids where you're like, you look bigger right now?
Yes. They grow overnight.
Yes.
It's like, that is... And then he got a haircut, too, which, you know, makes you look a little bit older when you get your haircut. And I was like, man. And he's only 5. Like, I don't want to overreact.
I know, but where'd the time go?
Yeah, I mean, my son's turned 5 you know in what, 20 days.
You know what, blew me away? Someone told me this. So, like, when you're 5, a year is a really long time. It's 1/5 of your life. But when you're 36, like I just turned, it's only 1/36 of my life. And as life goes on, the year becomes shorter relative to the number of years you've been on Earth. And I was like, wow, that's why time flows by so that's deep. Mm.
Can you not? That because I can't handle
it's
that.
It's deep.
That don't
was
do that
really
to me.
Deep.
So think about
it. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to think about that.
So it's relative to, so if I'm on the earth for 30 years, mm-hmm. a year is 1/30 of my life. When I'm 70, it's 1/70. That's half or less than half of.
You really want to freak out. How long's the earth been around?
Oh, gosh.
We're nothing. We're nothing, guys. We're no different than ants.
Yeah. So what's an audible? Who cares?
None of this matters.
Black 99. Black
what's
99?
The point?
Black audible.
Who gives a rat's ass
yeah.
about any of this? You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Real quick here, and it doesn't have to be real quick. We got a whole show to do. You guys see yourselves doing the whole like midlife crisis thing, like getting a convertible. Like that kind of deal.
No.
No, I think I've already probably had a midlife crisis or missed it. I mean, I already lived like 3 lives. Like, so I don't see.
He's
like,
currently living. I'm just kidding.
I mean, like,
why you got three cell phones.
Seriously. I mean, I've lived so many different lives already. I don't see like being 50 years old and freaking out.
I think about death every day.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I feel like, and Doran to a greater extent, when you play a sport for a really long time and then it's whatever the end of the road is for you, that in and of itself is a midlife crisis.
Yes.
It may not be at the middle point of your life,
yeah,
but is that transition.
What am I going to do now?
And I think for, I mean, I remember having conversations with Doran when he was, we would meet up in Bridgeville and he was going through that period where, you know, yeah, you've done well, you made some money, but it's like, I got the rest of my life to live. Yeah. What the heck am I going
to
do?
I've just been playing football my whole life. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what else what I'm good at.
It's kind of what we talked with Doug about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of these young players, you know, you come into the league, bang, here's $40 million. What the hell do I do? I mean, shoot, here's $2 million. Here's a, I don't know, $75,000 check. Right. I mean, what do you do? And then you're done. And then it's over.
Yeah.
That's tough. You've landed on your feet.
Yeah,
and look how you've been rewarded, my friend. You get to sit across from this bright and smiling face every single day.
You get to sit across from someone that thinks about death every day.
Every day. Everything I do, I think of how could I die doing this.
Are you like...
It's a sick... It is sick.
So, like,
I'm
you
sick.
Ever watch 1,000 Ways to Die?
Yeah.
That show?
It's bad for me.
We just talked about that, right? A couple days
ago. We did.
Yeah, this is...
He's all messed up because he has to fly, and, you know, flying's kind of weird right now.
My son's fifth birthday turned into a... discussion about life.
It did.
And the levity of the situation is just, it's too much for me.
It actually comforts me to think about how insignificant that I am. Like, okay.
I think you're very significant.
What's the big deal?
I think you're very significant.
But that, okay, so think about it this way. In the grand scheme of humanity, I am nothing. But
says who?
In me. But in my daughter's eyes,
right.
Everything.
You're everything. And so that's why it matters.
Until like 10 years from now when you're nothing.
But in your parents' eyes, you're everything too.
Correct.
So it just kind of just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, but
boom.
Three generations from now, ain't nobody going to know who
the Truman
hell
Show.
I was.
It's the Truman Show, man.
You know what my daughter did last night? Sorry, I totally cut you off there.
It's okay. I want to know what your daughter did last night. Go ahead.
So we have a new allowance system at the house because she just does not clean up her toys. So we say you can earn a quarter a day. So that whenever you go to like gymnastics, you could go get a gumball or you could save them up. You could play the claw machine. And it means so much to her. Well, yesterday I was feeling pretty damn lazy, having a bad back day with the kyphosis. And so she earned three quarters. But then we didn't have any change in the house except for one place, her piggy bank. So my wife, who had a dollar bill, said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to put a dollar bill in there. I don't want to steal from the kid. I'll take out some quarters. We'll replenish her quarters later. Well, my daughter heard her piggy bank rattling around.
Oh, man.
She goes to my wife, "You stole from me!"
This is so That's funny. My girl.
Yeah. You stole
That's
from
awesome.
Me!
That's awesome.
And my wife goes, no, wait a second here. I turned this dollar into change. It sent her. What? That's not true.
Yeah.
That's magic. Yeah. There's no magic. You can't turn that paper into quarters. We're like, whoa, hold up. That's not what we mean. She didn't understand change. So then she's stomping around, losing her mind. Five, you get it. She says, and I quote, "This is outrageous." And we lost it. I mean, I couldn't hold it together.
She's right, though. You are essentially stealing from her because you are taking money you're taking change from her piggy bank to replace it with a dollar, but you actually were supposed to pay her coins.
It was bad math.
Yeah. All you had to do is propose the exchange to her.
That's what I said to my wife, and I didn't want to fight with my wife.
You got to couch it as an exchange, and she's probably going to have to get an extra quarter as a result.
Correct.
That's what's going to have to bear out here. And then you're completely screwed.
Well,
because now you're going to start, every time she cries foul, you're going to pay
a quarter.
You know, we put in a reward system I did for my oldest for his attitude during games. So, like, when he gets pulled off the court, when he gets, you know, when he thinks he gets fouled, all this stuff. I don't care how you play. If he misses layups, it makes me mad.
Sure.
But it's like a buck per, I give him points. How many points did I get today? And then, like, I'll just say to him, like, "You're going to lose a point." That's all I'll say to him.
Yeah.
But now it's everything.
Like a body language kind of
deal. Dad, do I get a point for this? Do I get a point for that? I'm like, no. Like last night, Dad, do I get points? We scrimmaged. It's practice, Trey. It's not a game.
Not a game. Not a game.
I love that.
That's we're talking perfect. About practice.
But I put it in, but now it's we're up to like $45.
Whoa. We're getting close to buying a game.
I mean, we're in territory. You know, we're in the danger zone.
That's a good one.
Parenthood. For those of you driving to work right now, you totally get it.
Kallus has raised his hand. He wants to weigh in on parenthood.
Real quick before I forget, because you guys know that I will. And Kallus, I promise we'll get to you in a second. We're doing Quiz Kallus every Thursday. We should also do a call-in parental advice segment.
Yeah.
I think we should do that every Thursday. Okay. We got three...
Young parents.
I was going to say awesome dads, but I have no faith in myself. We can give parental advice perhaps every Thursday. We'll talk it out. Kallus, sorry.
No, you're good. I want to revisit your insignificance for a second.
Thank you.
Because normal people are not on the radio like you are, so all your stuff's actually documented, so people would be less likely to forget about you. But instead of your generations talking about how great of a person you are over time, your... later generations here, whenever you pass, we'll get to hear you talk, and they might think you're actually more dopey than you could be made out to be in stories. Just saying.
At least he doesn't have a van.
We're the fifth best radio show in the country.
That's right, baby.
That doesn't mean you're not.
Hey,
no.
Here's the transition point to get off this topic.
Please.
Because I heard it as I was driving in.
Kinkabwala.
I do want your thoughts. We want your thoughts on the whole Russ Wilson, Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, audibling fiasco. Just put up a new Twitter poll. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think about death every day? And now people on Twitter are concerned, which I appreciate. You good, bro? Someone asks. WTF, LOL. Somebody else asks. Yeah, we're good. We're just trying to understand the human condition. That's all.
You responded. I just say no. I'm not good.
I mean, I'm good for me. I'm great for me now. No, we got to fly. You know how I hate flying.
Where are you going?
Next Friday, New Orleans.
You're going the week after the Super Bowl?
That's right. We booked it. We thought it was the week of the Super Bowl. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We're not that dumb.
Better rates?
It was better rates. But you know me. So obviously horrific plane stuff has been going on. And then I make it about me. And then we know what happened in New Orleans on January 1st. And I make that about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm terrified to leave my house. Some kid.
You know, a great bit would be like,
that's great.
Just like chronicling him as he goes to the airport on the plane. Just the nervousness, your heart rate. I want to know your heart rate as you're walking through the airport. Just it peeking out at like 165.
I'm going to FaceTime you. What time's your flight?
You're not going to help me.
Whole family going.
I will help you.
Whole fam. Oh, boy. Is this the first foray? And you're going to New Orleans?
Yeah.
What are you going to New Orleans for?
My wife's brother lives there, my brother-in-law. I'm going to visit him, hang out. It's going to be like 75 degrees. It'll be nice.
It'll be great.
Jambalaya.
Jambalaya.
It'll be nice if you make it there.
Oh, God. Oh, for God's sakes, what is wrong
with you? That's too soon.
It's awful.
Okay. Wow. Well, good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
You leave next Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll be here next Thursday then.
Yes. Then some kid threw up in my... daughter's classroom yesterday.
Oh.
So now I'm scared of germs.
You're scared of everything.
I know.
Like everything.
Yep.
You're worse than Stark.
I am. And he doesn't, no one would ever, I don't think that, but it's 100% true. Like I crawled across the parking lot today so that I wouldn't slip and fall on the ice.
There's no ice.
I know.
there's absolutely no ice. What an overblown deal.
He won't let me drive. Like, he's never gotten a car where I was driving. He always, if we're going somewhere together, he has to drive.
Yeah,
because he's scared. He doesn't trust anybody.
I'm in control. I would actually fly the plane if they'd let me.
Do you like if you are in the passenger seat? Do you brake for people and stuff? Like
I am the worst backseat driver of all time. Directions, none of that. Who cares? I don't care.
Did you tell him about the time we went to breakfast?
No, because it's not interesting.
I offered to drive to breakfast because my car doesn't have a car seat in the back. He put me and our former intern in the back seat, and I squished him because I was much larger back then. And then he made fun of me and put it on social media.
I just want to show that I'm growing, and I'm not going to say he would still crush him now. I'm not going to say that.
Just said it.
I'm not going to say it. Can we
talk car seat? That's not football.
Can we talk football for God's sakes? You read the Jerry Dulac story.
I did.
Your thoughts, please.
I mean, I think that this is a little bit of he said, she said, right? I mean, it's revisionist history probably on the part of Russell Wilson. The last five games did not go well. It's easy to look at games and say, hey, we could have called this there. We could have got to this play there. I heard what you guys were saying. As I'm driving in, I'm like, this is 100% players driven. And I thought Arthur Smith, by and large, did a pretty good job this year. If there were issues with, they had guys running into each other in the Baltimore game when there weren't audibles. So my thing is, it's not just giving the quarterback the ability to audible. That is, okay, that's number one. Can the quarterback handle it? But then can the other 10 guys handle it? And can they handle it well? And then you start not playing well. You have a down performance, and you're like, man, do we need to keep it simple? And I think it's always, and I don't blame Russ for this, the quarterback's nature to say, I can do more. But if the rest of the team can't handle it, which I'm not sure they could, whether it's the right tackle or a replacement right guard or a rookie center or, you know, a revolving door at wide receiver, they had their share of issues. And I think probably boils down more to that than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You said the truth somewhere in the middle. I think that's the middle. I think the middle is, yeah, it worked for one game against a team, a defense that was bad at that point in time, and Russ played out of his mind.
And but really, by and large, 200 yards in checkdowns too.
By and large, it, you know, and audibles mean a lot of different things. It's not just completely changing the play. It's adjusting protection. It's maybe repointing a the middle of the defense to get a better number from a run perspective. All those things. And again, if I say A, and the center thinks B,
mm-hmm.
it's a TFL.
Yep.
And that's probably where I think it probably landed.
If have you ever been around other quarterbacks that didn't see eye to eye with the coordinator and actually spoken up and said that, you know, I don't believe that this is going to work? Have you ever been in a situation like that? And how have you, and if you have, how have you worked through that? And is that common for a quarterback and coordinator not to see eye to eye if this were to be true?
I think that I've been in rooms where there's disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best, and I've not been in a room where there are vehement disagreements that bleed onto the field. They're often handled in the classroom, because if the reality is, if the coordinator and quarterback don't see the game the same way, then the outcome is likely not going to be good unless you are elite. Elite. I mean, I'm confident that Ben did his own thing at times. Confident. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm confident there are other quarterbacks that go outside the framework, perhaps, of the offense because they have a proven history, a track record of being able to do it, whether it's Manning or Brady. But 99.9% of the time, the quarterback needs to understand the expectation of the play. What's the coordinator want by calling this play? And how do I protect it? How do I protect it and get the best possible outcome? And if that is, it's too deep and we're throwing, you know, a cover three beater, if it's checking to a run because that's within the framework of the offense, then that's what it is. But there might be quarterbacks that say, screw it, I'm going to throw it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's going to get you beat if you're not really good. If you're not going to be able to say, like Lamar Jackson goes back to, shoot, didn't check it, I'm going to go run for 15 yards.
Right.
Okay, that erases it. That erases it. But if you're Joe everyday NFL quarterback and you're operating outside the framework of the offense and going against the coordinator's wishes, good luck.
Yeah, Ray said this in a different way yesterday, where Ben would often say, oh, I drew it up in the dirt. If Russ is checking into something, it's still in the Arthur Smith playbook.
Yeah, he's not taking a play from Seattle.
Right, right. Whereas Ben, at the end,
he'll be like, go, hey, run this route.
Right. You're going to run a post. You're not doing that. Ben, in his final season, when it was Canada's first season, I know for a fact he was calling Fichtner stuff at the end of games. Like I know. But you live with it because not only is he a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ is going to be a Hall of Famer, but he had 6 games, 7 games, 8 games track record with you. So it is a different animal. We got to get to Billy Hilly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We're going to get to Billy Hilly. Bill Hillgrove, the voice of the Pitt Panthers. That's coming up next. Top of the next hour. Let's do a little Super Bowl. I keep putting off Super Bowl, Dorn.
You do?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't think it's an enticing game for anybody.
Go Eagles?
No.
Go Birds.
Wow.
Yeah, we know where he stands.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Still trying to get in touch with Bill Hillgrove. If we get him, great. If not, we'll still talk Pitt Hoops for a couple of minutes here before we get into the Super Bowl and some other Steelers-related things, including a report from Jay Glazer and something that George Pickens is doing that makes me want to pull my hair out. So that's all on the way. We have something in common, gentlemen. We are the fans of basketball teams that are bubblicious. My Mountaineers, who lost to Jamie Dixon last night. Your Pitt Panthers, who lost to Virginia the other day. What the hell's going on? Do you expect a bounce back for North Carolina?
I'm hopeful, but that was Monday night was, I did not expect it. Virginia has obviously struggled this year, but there's still some semblance of that defense makes them hard to play against.
Yeah.
They're physical, and they try
they came to play.
They tried to muddy up the game, and they probably saw blood in the water a little bit because Pitt was coming off a really disappointing loss at Wake on Saturday. And, you know, a little bit of a hangover, a Monday game. You only have one day to get ready. But there was just no – every time they were within 12, they couldn't get it to 10. Virginia would make a three. We'd miss a shot. And, you know, Jalen's struggling. And that's the thing that, you know, you go back 2 years ago and look at that team and the veterans they had. You forget sometimes that Lowe's a sophomore. And he really wasn't the primary ball handler all the time last year.
Yeah.
Because you had Bub Carrington, who obviously was a first-round pick. But this year, he's getting a lot of attention. Teams are doubling him. They're hitting him. They're being physical. And it's throwing everything off kilter. And they've got to find a way. They got two quad one opportunities, Saturday and Tuesday, in Dallas. And if they get one or both, they're right back in it.
Yes.
So it really is a one-game season right now for West Virginia, for Pitt, for everybody. Clemson lost to Georgia Tech the other night in three overtimes. There's, you know, games that are being Kansas State's beating teams.
People don't understand, sorry, Doran, that, okay, oh, the ACC's down. Okay. Yeah, maybe it is. People don't understand how hard it is to win a conference game.
Oh, yeah.
they don't. Especially, you go on the road.
Yeah.
That's hard as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard as hell. And when you, perception or otherwise, you're in a position now where a lot of these games against some bottom of the conference competition comes up, there is zero pressure on those teams. Those coaches know you well. They got good players too, and all the pressure on the world is on the team that's trying to make their way into the big dance. That makes it tough, real tough. And you mentioned Jalen Lowe. You cut the head off the snake, that's that. And he hasn't played good basketball of late, but he's a good basketball player. I think we learn a ton, Doran, about Pitt on Saturday against UNC.
You're exactly right, because you just said how tough it is to play on the road, especially in conference. And, you know, you got to go to North Carolina. You already got them once. They're still, you know, North Carolina isn't the North Carolina that, you know, we're accustomed to, but they're still North Carolina, still a decent basketball team. Pat, we know what Jeff Capel said post-game. He was furious. He wished that the team probably had practice the next day, but he said he has to give them a day off. What do you think his message is to the team, you know, from the day, you know, after that they lost till all the way up until Saturday? Like, what is the message? And I do believe they'll respond, whatever the message is. I do believe that the players will. But what is that message that he's sending to his team?
Well, I think they're at an inflection point where, you know, they got Damian Dunn back several weeks ago. Obviously, you know, he has been a pretty integral part of their rotation. But they went deep into the rotation against Virginia just to try something. And I think now the slate's kind of clean. You know, if you're Biba Cummings, if you're Papa Conte, if you're Amsel Dalalich, and you haven't been in the rotation, like, you go out there and play hard and do what you're supposed to do, you know, or you conversely, you do the opposite, you're coming off the floor. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You're coming off the floor. And we're going to play guys that are going to do what they're supposed to do. And I have no special knowledge that guys were going off script, but when you dribble into double teams and throw the ball up, or don't get back on a fast break on defense, those are pretty obvious telltale signs that you shouldn't be on the floor. And sometimes it's helpful for guys like Jalen or Ish or those guys to get off the floor a little bit and watch. I mean, he didn't play low, I think, for the about 6 minutes during the second half of that game. But one thing is obvious to me. You know, you forget the impact a generational player like Blake Hinson had on a team. They're not making threes. And they did it again. When they played West Virginia, they shot the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
But their three-point shooting percentage in conference play is way down, and they don't have a guy like Blake who can make a shot in a critical moment to either keep you in the game or keep you at arm's length. They don't have that guy right now. And I'm not sure they will the remainder of the year, so it's going to have to be team-oriented. and it can't be one-on-one ball. And that we've seen too much of that.
Saturday at 4 o'clock right here on the Fan Pit. UNC coverage begins at 3:30. You can listen on your Odyssey app.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.